We're back here on a Sunday. Welcome to Steel and Maz, Maz Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. We're located in Quincy Point at the Maz Music Radio headquarters. Tonight, man, we got a special treat with current Quincy College men's basketball coach. And, you know, I mean, I think anyone in the city of Quincy knows Quincy High's hoop star Doug Scott joined the show to discuss, you know, his life in basketball. You know, a lot of ups and downs here. Yeah, we didn't get to the Celtics because, I mean, how passionate his story is. It really has gone full circle. I mean, guys, that was from his time in high school to what he's doing now at Quincy College,
incredible.
Raising a program. It was honestly really inspiring stuff, and, you know, I'm just blown away right now.
I feel like sitting next to Coach Carter, something like that.
He's got creating a college program.
He's got a semi-Coach Carter story post Dougie Scott, the infamous high school star that he was. So, I don't know how many people know that he's doing what he's doing at Quincy College, but you'll find out.
Let's get it done, yeah.
Another sneak preview of, we do find out what actually happened the weekend of him breaking the record. Just a little snippet there. Also, the Patriots took on the Dolphins of Miami today. Didn't get back to neutral. We'll have our takes on that. Lastly, we'll have some talk on the college football playoff as the four seeds were announced with Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, and Notre Dame has announced as the semifinal seeds. We'll have our takes on that. We have a quality show for you this evening, so let's get to it. Here's Doug Scott. So here we are with current Quincy College men's basketball coach and former Quincy High hoop star Doug Scott. How are we doing tonight?
I'm good.
Good, good. I mean, you know, it's been crazy times keeping up with everything. How have you been kind of keeping yourself busy?
Oh, man, I got a 1.5 year old. Keep me.
That'll do it.
Yeah. So you're busy.
Yeah, and a 6 year old daughter. So, they keep me very busy.
Yeah, so let's jump into it. So, obviously, you had a really highly decorated basketball career, transition to your coaching career. How did really you get into the sport itself, and you know, how did you know that you were going to grow into, you know, the player you became and everything like that?
I probably have to say, just two older brothers, just following them everywhere they went. And they picked up basketball. I mean, we tried every sport, but basketball is the one that kind of stuck. And, you know, after that, it just, I think playing up, they're 4 years older than me, you know, I play whatever, you know, league they're playing and I'm on their team. So I think, you know, maybe into the seventh, eighth grade, then I started being the guy, you know, on their team. So
yeah, right?
So, so at that point, I think, you know, they said, shit, he's going to be pretty good.
So then what programs you kind of go through and what led yourself towards? I mean, obviously being from Quincy, but, you know, going to Quincy High and, you know, you really made a mark on the program right away.
You know, coming up, I think, you know, the Sacred Heart basketball, Quincy Youth, and, you know, Sacred Heart's been going for like 50 years or so, 25 years. I'm sorry, 25 years. You know, and I think, playing for Mark Janik, he's a tough dude. I don't know if
he's a stud.
He's crazy. So I think I was, in the sixth grade playing in the eighth grade and he started screaming at me. And I think that was the last time I ever played for him. back then.
You were mad at him or?
No, I think it just, I don't know. I think the type of player I wasn't his kind of his scheme. I don't know if you guys, you know, he's I don't know how to describe it, but
I'll put it this way. So I know Mark Janik like very well from the baseball diamond, and he'll have guys on his team just to bunt like in baseball. So basically, I think
you're
we
not
could
part of the system.
Put that kind of situation there into 1,000 words, and I'll let you get going.
Yeah, I think. You know, shooting threes and stuff like that, he just wasn't a big fan of. So I'll tell you though, he's a hell of a coach. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. It just, you know, it didn't fit me, especially being in the sixth grade. I'm playing up and I'm getting yelled at, all this stuff. So, and I didn't really come from a background of, you know, my father was into sports. My father never played a sport in his life. So, you know, he said, you don't want to play, don't play. I don't give a shit what you do. You know,
there it is.
So,
so
I mean,
those overbearing parents is yelling at
you
from the side.
I didn't have any of that.
Get there, whatever. It's like,
that's Mr. Janik's job.
I had none of that. So, so after that, I went to the Quincy Youth and also I started getting noticed probably in the seventh, eighth grade. And AAU basketball back then was like, you know, if you were a real good player, like you played AAU, now it's you know, yeah, everybody in there, everybody in their mother's playing, you know, everybody plays.
It's same just, with the baseball side. It's, yeah. It's pay to play for the most part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. So, so back then it was more or less, hey, if you're one of the better players in the area, you know, you play AAU. So, you know, I got picked up by an AAU program.
Bay State Magic?
Yeah, Bay State Magic. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Back in the day.
They were fucking sick.
Yeah.
lights out.
And then I think, you know, we won a state championship, whatever the heck it is, and went to the Nationals. Mm-hmm. After that, you know, we got picked up by a sponsor team from a Nike sponsor team, BABC, Leo Papil. He was did a lot of work for the Celtics. So I started doing with that and getting noticed. I think my group... most of the guys all went all prep school, St. Mark's. I had an opportunity to go to St. Mark's instead of Quincy High when I was going. I think they produced maybe 5 or 6 NBA guys in my time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, their basketball was top notch. And, you know, stupid ass me, I'm good. You know, I'm good.
Right. I'm going down the street.
Yeah, I'm good. You know, I stayed a night over there and it just, you know, again, it wasn't for me. I was a homebody. But, you know, that's a decision I look back on, you know, because opportunities like that don't come. Mm-hmm. So after that, I kind of, I think I stopped playing. We went to Adidas. All those guys jumped to Adidas. And I said, you know, on a Friday, Saturday nights, like, you know. I'm
trying to do something fun.
Yeah, I'm good. You know, yeah. I'm good. So
basketball game.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
Yeah, I'm good. That was basically like going into, you know, my ninth grade year. Mm-hmm. And then right off the bat, I kind of had success at high school. At just first game, I think I had like 37 points. and then after that, it was kind of, you know, everybody knew me. And I could do whatever the fuck I wanted. You know, unfortunately.
You ran the city, kind of.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Your name was, everyone knew Dougie Scott.
Hot in the streets, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a good thing, but
so your game though, I mean, I think I was a freshman when you were a senior, so I got to see a bit of your game. But you really pride yourself off, you know, obviously scoring the basketball, but shooting. How did that like? How did your perfection of, you know, your shot really come into play? Obviously, practice goes into it and stuff, but is there any other element that you're like, wow, like I saw something on my shot that day, I got to switch it up?
I mean, that's kind of like my bread and butter now.
Yeah.
You know, especially working with athletes, you know, trying to get them to the next level is shooting, mm-hmm. you know, just the mechanics of it and how you do it and the rhythm. So, you know, even though at a young age, I was very in tune of just how to shoot the ball and rhythms and stuff like that. So, you know, and especially shooting off the dribble was, you know, a thing, you know, maybe an art that's tough now, you know, Steph Curry obviously can do it from half court.
Again and again and again.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And every, you know, all the kids think they could do it now, but, it's difficult, you know, shooting off the dribble is very difficult. And being 5'10", getting shots off is difficult. So you have to be kind of creative. So,
bouncing around picks, just. The whole pick and roll, everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, at the high school, like I said, if I played, you know, playing AAU basketball with, you know, 5'6" other Division I athletes, 6'10", 6'9", you know, I was scoring maybe 8 points a game, 10 points a game, and then I get to high school, and it's like I could score 30 anytime I want. It just, you know what I mean. I think playing at a high level definitely geared me for. Especially high school basketball around here.
Mm-hmm. For sure. You were playing kids way better than what you were going to face in high school. So.
Yeah.
I mean, my point guard, you know, I was going against Phil Pressey, played for the Celtics. Nadia Tharp went to Kansas. Shabazz Napier. I mean, you know, so like, you know, that's three guys that I'm, you know, every, you know, I'm playing against every time. So, and it's just me. So it definitely geared me up for high school basketball.
Yeah. So, I mean, a couple big moments in your high school career, you know, breaking the all-time Quincy Public Schools record, whatever you want to call it. Just tell me how special that moment was. And obviously, I bet you were a competitor. What was the score of the game? Like, were you even thinking about, like, wow, this is something I'm going to look back on for the rest of your life? I mean, it hasn't been broken yet, right?
No, so the most points in the game or all time?
All time. We'll get to the most points of the game.
I'll tell you, just, you know, high school was just kind of like a whirlwind, you know what I mean? It happened so fast, and you make so many decisions, you know, when you're young. You know, it's crazy. So at that moment, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I probably wasn't even thinking about it. You know what I mean? It really, yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like.
Well, they like stop. Like, I wasn't there. Like, they stop the game and everything, give you like a ball.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah. So we're playing Scituate High. I mean, my senior year, we.
I remember Rod Beldo was
yeah,
the
yeah,
point guard.
Yeah, he was
guard.
Good. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Scituate was tough. I think mm-hmm. they had like 2 6'10" kids. Oh, yeah. But yeah, it was at Scituate. Yeah, I mean, you know, we didn't have a great year. You know, I was all about winning. I mean, I really. You know, back in the day, people say, oh, you score all these points. But, like, you know, I had a shit ton of assists. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think it's just, you know, people probably that not intelligent of the game, you know, just say, oh, all you did is shoot. But mm-hmm. it wasn't that at all. So going into that, I really wasn't, you know what I mean? I wasn't thinking about – I was trying to win.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I
was just
trying to win.
Just
that's win. That's it, you know.
I can't remember the records. I don't know if – like, what? How were you guys for the 4 years you played?
So
I wish I could remember.
I mean, 3 years, we were 17-3 every year except my freshman year, we got knocked out by CM. And that's tough. You
this
know,
is
CM,
a tough draw.
Yeah, I mean, CM's got 10 kids that can play. We, you know, Quincy High maybe had
that. Is that when they had Julian, too, or is that after?
Who was it?
Julian Caruso.
So we lost to Julian. Yeah. I think we lost to him by like 9. Mm-hmm. You know, we got in a little scuffle at Brockton. You know,
happens.
Yeah, we got a little scuffle. I think we were down like 9 points. I think I scored like 19 straight points. It was like 7 minutes on the clock, and my coach just sat me for the rest. I didn't follow. You know, he was trying to teach me a lesson. Mm-hmm.
Just trying to
Julian
win.
Was out. I mean, all that guys followed out. I mean, we had a shot, but. I mean, they were just good. You know, I mean, CM's just tough.
Yeah, they won the states one of those
times.
He's a CM alum.
Yeah, 3 years. And I think, 2 years in a row, 3 years in a row, we lost them. And, you know, you do is get your best. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
The talent is different. So, but back to, you know, breaking the record. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a moment, definitely. You know what I mean? It was a moment. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's something I wasn't thinking about, you know what I mean?
That's a similar answer we had. Nicole Jorgensen, who played on Quincy High, she's probably –
yeah, she was good.
Like, she had the most points in women's history, whatever, at least rebounds too. And she's pretty humble about that. But, so I was actually at the game where you dropped the 53 points against North Quincy. And my buddy – and I think you know the Costas, but our bud Matt Costa, I think, got his first start or something that night.
Yeah, man.
I think he was covering you. I think.
Poor guy. Yeah, what a dark day.
Shout out to
Matt.
Matty's a good dude. The Costas are good people, good family. That game was that was a good time. I think they like presented me with something before the game, and the guy was like, we're going to give Doug the night off as like a joke.
Okay.
All right.
See you in a bit.
I forget the principal's name. He was a good dude.
At North?
Yeah.
Was it Metzler at that time?
I think it was Metzler, right? Yeah. He used to dress up fancy and stuff. Yeah. We're going to give Big Doug shot. The night off, you know, as a joke. And I said, okay. All right, cool. We'll see.
Yeah. You know, but your mouth, buddy.
Yeah.
Was North the biggest rival? Or, like, were there other teams that you played that were... Like,
I mean, obviously, North's a rival, but...
And they had a pretty good team back then. I mean, especially... Yeah,
we were good.
Marcellus and...
Yeah, Marcellus, and then, you know, like, when Kyle Costa, because he was... Yeah. When I was a freshman, we split the championship with them. So, I mean, we had a crowd... When we played those guys, they were good too.
Wild.
Yeah, Kyle Costa and like Dunny and those guys. Yep. I don't know if you know, but they were good. Mm-hmm. And we split. I think they beat us at the buzzer. We beat them at our home, then they beat us at the buzzer there. But I mean, the crowds there are pretty good.
Oh yeah, North versus Quincy always. Yeah, it was a treat.
Yeah,
but like, I mean, it's this whole game's going on. Was it your last North versus Quincy game? Like, was that the last one?
I think we would have had another one.
Okay. So either way, but like you probably have like 30 at some point, I don't know, during the second or third quarter, and you're like, wow, I got 30 this early. Like, what's going on? Like,
yeah, I think I had, I think I had like 30, 28 at half. Mm-hmm. And one of my assistant coaches was like, hey, you know, such and such had 50 against us, when he played.
Yeah.
So he's like, you got to go get 50, you know, more than 50, you know what I mean? So I'm like, okay. All right, let me see what we can do. You know, so
again, you try to win a game. Looking back,
uh-huh. I think I should have had maybe close to 60. I mean, I think I missed a bunch of free throws. Missed some other stuff. I got tired. You know, I think I was 20 for 25. I usually never miss free throws, but I think I missed like four in a row or five in a row at the end.
Yeah, so you're right. You could have got close to 60.
Were you letting them hear it, though? Like, if I dropped 50 on the rivals, like, they'd know every bit of it.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I mean, like leading up to that game, though, like I was doing some crazy shit. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? I wasn't even thinking about the game. You know what I mean?
We might have to get into a deep dive of like off the court, Dougie. Yeah, yeah,
I mean, I wasn't even. I used to just show up. You know what I mean? It's just.
Did you never? I'm like, with that mentality you're saying, did you plan on playing like really after high school, or did you not even really care?
I mean, I was more like I was realistic, you know what I mean? Like I knew what it was, you know what I mean? Like, and you know, I was talented and I could probably play anywhere, you know, in my prime. Like I could play, I could just fit into a pickup game and just play. Mm-hmm. Just with the IQ, being able to shoot, just like I could play, you know what I mean? Like I said, mm-hmm. I was playing with guys that were going to Georgetown, Florida. Like I could play. But I just knew the reality, you know what I mean? And it takes so much you know, work, you know, I think at my younger age, I think I put the work in. And then when I got to high school, I didn't put the work in,
yeah.
You know? And when you hear people say, oh, you know, I'm going to CM, I'm going there to get away from the distractions. It, you know, it's true. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. know, it really is true. The distractions are real.
Oh yeah. The Bud Lights after the game.
Yeah. I mean, I never drank in my life, but I mean, yeah,
must have been checks then or something. I don't know. Parties.
I mean, it was a good time, you know. So back to your, you know, when I broke the, you know, we'll get into it when we were going to Scituate. So mm-hmm. obviously, I failed off my senior year.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. That's mm-hmm. pretty big. I mean, mm-hmm. that follows me around everywhere I go. Thanks, newspaper.
you know, like you son of a bitch.
You Google my name and it's like. Doug Scott failed off the basketball team, so it's like
that's bullshit.
You know, it's
that's
like bullshit. Oh, this is great.
To but, have them make a whole like article about that too, like who does that? Like that's just
yeah. Like come on, man.
According to
what are they TMZ? You know,
no. Like, according to what the hell is it?
The Ledger or
Global? No, the higher ups in Quincy Public Schools. I was a high profile player, so I couldn't. I couldn't play anymore. Right. So I mean. You know, my grade said I passed, you know, I passed, but, you know, they said I didn't pass, you know, and obviously, you know, I knew what I was doing, you uh-huh. know what I mean? Like, I deserved all that stuff, but, so going to break the record,
yep.
you know, like mm-hmm. at Scituate, the report cards are supposed to come out on Friday. The report cards didn't come out on Friday. They came out on Monday. Just so happened, you know, people don't know that story, but if they came out on Friday, there would have been yeah. no... breaking a record.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah.
Is that a conspiracy?
Wow.
No.
Like the all-time record or the 53
all
point?
Time.
No, all-time.
All-time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
so that was
yeah.
your last game?
That was my last game. Yeah, I walked off like a champ.
That's a pretty amazing. Good way to end Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, I walked off
like Other a champ. Than a championship, there's really nothing much else to
that's
do.
That's just like the know? Definition of like I run this shit.
Yeah. That's a mic drop. It's yeah. a mic drop.
I mean, like, but me back then, you know, like I said, I didn't care about records. I wanted to win. Like, I really just wanted to win. I love playing basketball. I just wanted to play.
Yeah.
You know, so like that was my whole argument was like listen, like, you know, because people were all about this record and like, mm-hmm. you know, like I could go on and on about like some weird stuff that happened that season that like, you know, like usually didn't happen. Like people really didn't want me to break this record. And I'm like, I don't even care. You know? Like, I don't care yeah. like the record. Like obviously it feels good, but it's like it's not important to me. Like I want to play. We weren't that great my senior year, but, I just wanted to play, you know, I think I missed mm-hmm. 10 games. So, you know, in 1555 yeah. I had, and then add 10 games, I led the state in scoring,
yeah.
you know? So, record didn't mean anything to yeah. meant more to the other people.
Yeah. But, so you looked at the fact of more actually playing the game of basketball and winning. Yeah.
That's it. Uh-huh. That's it. You know, and, you know, I just happened to score a lot, you know, when I played, yeah. you know, but again, I think, you know, my whole high school stuff, I think, yeah. you know, as crazy it is led up to, you know, what I'm doing now and you know, kids that were in my shoes, yeah. you know, that probably made the same mistakes I made, you know, that really can go places is, you know, kind of what I'm.
It translates good.
It does. Sure. Yeah, it does. It does. It does.
Did you know that was, coaching was something you like, was that something you were thinking about back in the day?
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, I had a high IQ, just understanding the game. I, you know, just figuring out, you know, I could figure out a guy in 2 seconds, you know, like if I'm playing, you know, his moves, this, that, and the third, what the team's doing, just kind of figure it out. So I always had that in my mind.
In-game scenarios, yeah.
Yeah, just picking stuff up. So, you know, my high school coach,
Fisher,
yep. You know, one of the best in the state, oh, probably yeah. one of the, you know, going to be in the, or it probably is on the Hall of Fame.
He's still at Mosfield, huh?
Yeah. I mean, he was one of the best. So learning from him, you know, obviously learning from, you know, the St. Mark's, you know, people, that was like a college atmosphere. Yep. You know, so, you know, I do some work with Leo Papil now, you know, picking his brain every day. You know, there's another gentleman, Bo Ruggiero. I mean, you know, just picking up. I mean, you can't just be a coach and, you know, because you played. You know, you really got to understand, you know, how to run practices.
It's more of a job.
It's 12 months a year, you know.
Is it harder than playing?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. So after Quincy High, that wasn't my – I don't know if you said that, like, that was my last game I ever played at Quincy High.
You went on to Massasoit, right?
I went to Massasoit. Yep. And I kind of actually took it a little more serious, I think, when I got the Massasoit. You know, I had some opportunities. So junior college is all different levels.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure some motivation to that. It's like all over the place.
Yeah. It's all different levels. So it's Division III, junior college, Division I, Division II. You know, there's no Division I JUCOs around here anymore. Yep. But they used to be. You know, CCRI was Division I, and Massasoit used to be a Division II. They give you money. Mm-hmm. Now it's Division III. They can't give you any money. But so I had some opportunities and forget where I was going. And then the Massasoit coach is like, hey, you want to come here for free? So I'm like, sure.
Yeah, might as well. Fuck it.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, you know,
let's get nuts.
Yeah. Let's do it. You know, so.
Preschool is always a good thing.
Yeah.
A lot of people are, you know. Yeah, not you getting don't, that.
Don't think about it, but, you know, it's a junior college. But, you know, when you come from, you know, my parents don't make a ton of money. You know what I mean? We, you know, we're just, you know, a regular, you know, get by.
Yeah, I know
you know,
saying.
And you know, we're not getting any financial aid or things like that. So
it's a good opportunity.
You got to pay your way. So, you know, I would have had to pay my way. I think my brother paid. I think I failed a class and my brother had to pay like $1,000. You know what I mean? Lucky I had a good brother, but, so yeah, I mean, you know, going to Massasoit, just kind of a humble, you know, again, you know, in high school, I had some, you know, Division II snooping around, talking to me, things like that. Division III,
right.
You know?
Yep.
But again, it was just kind of, you fail out of your senior year.
You want
everything goes quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
And you want to build yourself back up, right? Yeah. So that's kind of the mentality going in.
But
there.
Like you said, if you don't have that like we've talked to a lot of people who've like barely, you know, they've either like just gotten into like they finally make it through the system like AAA or whatever, played in college, played at big colleges, but like if you in high school were feeling like that's not what you wanted or didn't think it was realistic, then it makes total sense to not go full out, you know, and treat it that way.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what those guys like the dedication that they were like, yeah, I was like, I felt like I could do it, and I just dedicated my life to like all 24/7. That was what it was about.
Yeah, I just like I said, I think at my younger age, I really put the time into it, and you know that's where like you know coming in as a you know people playing as a freshman, you know, and at high school is tough.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean? Socially too, you guys, you know what I mean? Think about it. Socially. You know, you go in there and you know you're not just with your freshman class. You're with older,
the 18-year-olds.
You know,
seniors and stuff. Looking you know at you, mean? Like,
yeah.
Who are
it
you?
Changes. Yeah,
yeah. So
changes the whole
I mean,
game.
You know, and then you got a little like light shined on you. It just it could get difficult.
It's a lot. Yeah
it could get
lot.
Difficult.
I can imagine
socially and things like that.
So let me ask this question. So how did so after Massasoit, you became you started coaching? Was it like in the AAU ranks, or did you go right to Quincy, or was it?
So you know, Massasoit was wild too.
Yep.
So I took some time off, obviously, just kind of you know being a 19-year-old kid, just don't know what you want to do.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just you know,
that's it.
I got a ton of kids that just. what am I going to do now? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I remember going to Quincy College and, you know, sign up for class. And I always had that in the back of my mind, like, shit, if they had a team, like, this would be great. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think I started, you know, just I try to figure out to coach for Quincy Youth or something. I called them. I said, hey, you know, you guys have any openings? I'd like to coach. I said, who are you? I said, my name's Doug Scotty. And they're like, okay, fill out a waiver or fill out this up and, you know, we might have a team for you. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right. He's like, oh, we got nothing for you. I said, oh, great, all right. So I go back to Mr. Janik. I say, Mark, you have a team. Like, I don't want to coach young kids. I'd rather coach eighth grade or, like that. You know, I can have an impact. Just
relate to more. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said, Doug, whatever team you want, you pick it. You're the coach. I'll tell whoever is gone. He says, whatever you want to do. It's yours.
Well,
see, that's a guy who recognized the name.
He's a great guy.
Whoever you called on the phone and said sign a waiver, you should be like, do you know who I am?
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, Quincy Youth is what it is.
It's Quincy Youth, yeah.
And Sacred Heart is, you know,
a really good program.
Very, very good program. Yeah. So I started there and I took on a team. They weren't too good. And I think we went to the championship. You know, it was a really good group of, young kids.
Are you talking like those travel teams? The cigarette.
Eighth grade travel. I think we played in two leagues, and again, a lot of time. Like, you know what I mean? It's a lot of time you put in. But it was great. You know, I met fantastic kids, and it was a good start. And unfortunately, so back to, you know, how this is all going to play. And I'm sitting at a eighth grade Sacred Heart travel game, waiting for our game to start, and one of my kids' father, his name's Anthony Falco. He's a lawyer in Quincy, big time lawyer in Quincy. And he's like, "So, what do you want to do? Like, what's your goal?" He's like, "Obviously, you can coach. Like, what's the goal?" So, out of like the back of my head, I'm like, "You know what? I really want to start a basketball program at Quincy College." He's like, "Wow." He's like, "All right." He's like, "Come to my office." He says, "Let's figure it out."
Wow.
So I said, "Okay, sounds good." So, I think I took a year off of coaching.
Yep.
I met him at his office, and I would lay it out, bum, 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 bum. You know, let's go see what, you know, you got to have somebody, you know what I mean? Yeah. I can't get to Quincy College, the president. You know, you always have to have somebody that's connected on your side to get you somewhere. It's just, that's just the way life is.
Yeah.
You know, I just got lucky with, you know, he's actually a great friend of mine. We do a lot of business together.
Nice.
so I went to his office and, you know, boom, got a meeting with Quincy College. And, hey, you know, we want to start a basketball program, you know, athletic program, this, that, and third. No.
How old is Quincy College, by the way? Like, is it like 10 years?
What, the athletic program? Or
the school?
No, the school's been around for a long time.
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
It's been a lot. You haven't known. It used to be in the basement. You know, it used to be in the basement. My mother went to Quincy College.
Yeah, I took a couple classes there finishing off my degree. Yeah.
It just kind of started coming to, like, you know, they started advertising.
Yeah, you see it on taxis and shit.
Probably the last 10, maybe the last 10 years, I would say. But before that, nobody knew about Quincy College. It used to be scattered all over Quincy. So again, we go have this meeting. No. So, okay, we tried.
Yeah.
You know, hey, we tried. So, you know, I'm meeting with Anthony and we're going over all this stuff and let's forget about Quincy College. Let's start a leadership program, a summer camp. I said, all right, let's do it. So, and so we put Quincy College aside and we started, it's called the, Bow Foundation Summer Leadership Camp. We do about 200 kids, a summer.
Oh, wow.
We did it for the last 4 years.
Where is it located?
Right in Quincy High.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, nice. I mean, phenomenal camp. Has nothing to do with basketball. Nothing to do with basketball. Nope, just at, you know, at-risk kids in the city of Quincy. It's free, you know, and we do amazing stuff. You know, like, the people we bring in is just amazing. Mm-hmm. So I kind of focused my attention on that. And, I mean, it was just amazing. Unfortunately, we couldn't do it this year because...
Yeah, because everything
COVID.
Going.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. But... So, I mean, it's funny how, you know, you're going one direction and then something else amazing comes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and then Quincy College goes, hey, we're ready to, you know, you want to do a program? I mean, you want to do it? You want to start? And we're like, Sure.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
It just came up one day like that. They were like, oh, we're going to do it.
Yeah.
We're ready now.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's crazy how, you know, things work, but, you know, colleges now is big on enrollment. Mm-hmm. And whatever you can do to build enrollment.
And,
you know, athletic
program.
Yeah. It's big.
Yeah. It is big right now. So, so they said, hey, you want to start a basketball program? Let's do it. You know, it's going to be difficult. You know, never had a team. They had a team back in the day that were pretty successful, long time ago. And then for like 25 years or 30 years, they never had an athletic program. So we start, and I think I was in the Hanover U. They had me with the girls. They had me with the girls at first. They're like, oh, we have a guy doing boys basketball. I'm like, whatever, I'll take whatever you got.
Put the team on the court.
Yeah. And at this time, it wasn't like a, you know, it wasn't like a basketball. It was like an intramural program.
Yeah.
You know, you got to start somewhere. It's an intramural program. Mm-hmm. So I'm there, and, you know, this guy never shows up. You know, this, you know, nobody's ever shown up. I'm the only one there. so put the girls aside, and, you know, this, you know, I get the word out in the school. More kids start showing up, and, you know, there's some talent. There was talent in the school, like a little bit of talent. You know what I mean? Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
So we kind of picked it up there, just having, you know, just pick up games between people in the school. And then I said, hey, let's start reaching out to other colleges, junior colleges to get this thing going. You know what I mean? It's a little premature.
Yep.
For sure. I think I pushed it a little quick, but, I got a group of guys that were enrolled in Quincy College that could pick up a basketball, maybe not do too well.
Hit a couple.
Hit a couple. And, you know, I scheduled maybe 3 or 4 games. How many years ago was this?
So the first year was like official.
This wasn't official.
Year. Okay.
This wasn't official. This was just intramural. I found 6 guys in Quincy College
that could play,
that could pick up a basketball that were in the school. So, you know, we go. I think we play like Bristol. They're usually really, really good. Mm-hmm. Mass Bay. I think they won the championship that year. This is like 6 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we go. Bristol beat us by like 85 points. Or something, you know, like, you know, like 85. I'm like, man, this is
hate to see it.
Yeah, this is tough.
That's got to be demoralizing.
Yeah,
was the break button. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, ouch. And then we played Mass Bay. I think we hung in there with them, and they actually won the championship. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay, you know, maybe there is something here. Mm-hmm. And then we played Roxbury, and I think we ended up beating Roxbury. And then it was kind of like, you know, let's do it. That's, you know, you we're going to be in the NJCAA. You're going to be a JUCO, Division III JUCO. We're going to play a full schedule, 30 games, you know, let's recruit.
Hell yeah.
You know, let's recruit. So got my ass out there, you know?
Nice.
And this was how many years ago? Like that.
This year would have been my 4th year. So yeah. So like 4 years. It took about 2 years to really get the ball going.
So like, just run down me like the whole recruitment process, because obviously you guys had a great year in your inaugural year. So, I mean, you guys get talent from all the inner cities, South Shore, Patriot League, whatever you want to call it. So what was kind of like step one of moving into like, I got to get some good players here?
Yeah, I mean, my whole philosophy right now is Quincy has a great location.
Yeah.
So I try to get, you know, the best players in the South Shore. You know, unless you're a bona fide, you're going Division I. Okay. I won't recruit you. If you're not going Division I, I'm there at your game. I'm going to recruit anybody. If you're talented, I'm going to recruit you. It doesn't matter. I'm recruiting you just like everybody else does. Mm-hmm. They might not have any clue who Quincy College is. Maybe at that time they didn't. They had, what is Quincy College? obviously didn't. Now they do a little bit. So, you know, I try to mix it with South Shore kids and in Boston kids, city kids. So that year, that first year, I had a lot of no's.
With like no program history. Yeah. Like a bunch of like,
we have a I just team. Googled Quincy College basketball. Nothing came up.
This isn't real. Yeah, am I being punked?
You joking me?
That like movie Accepted. You ever seen that one?
Self-harming.
Yeah, make up their own, but yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of no's. And again, you know, recruiting. I had no background of recruiting, by the way. You know what I mean? No background. At the AAU level, you know, picking up guys different there, and I had success. I got, you know, my AAU days. You know, it wasn't like a Nike brand or anything, just a regular AAU team. Uh-huh. You know, I had a kid who plays for Maine University in Maine now. I got a kid who plays for William & Mary. Just develop-wise, you know, I knew I could develop kids, mm-hmm. you know, just showing them in the work ethic they need. So that's I had really success impressive. There.
Yeah.
Recruiting, just no background, just, you know, just have to be personable, honest, truthful. Tell them what it is, you know, and have trust in you. So a lot of no's. I think I sold on a kid from Rockland. You know, I like going to programs that are successful and good coaching. That's another thing I look for, obviously. And tough, just tough kids.
He's a good coach, too. What's his name again?
It's Freddie Damon.
Freddie Damon, yeah. I've covered him.
Yeah, tough dude.
Yeah.
So I went there, you know, this kid, he, you know, talented, grades are bad, you know. Yeah. I said, you know, and again, junior colleges, people have in their mind that kid has to be as a bad student to come to junior college. Mm-hmm. It's just way not the truth, you know. Mm-hmm. Anybody can go to junior college. It's a great opportunity.
Yeah, stepping stone, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, kids go to prep school. What's that going to cost?
Yeah.
You know, what's that going to cost? You know, you know, 35 to 50.
If you're not getting it for free, it's going to be $35,000, $40,000.
Yeah. Yeah, and today. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
That's all it's about. So, you know, and it's a great opportunity. Like I said, it's not that you have bad grades. But at that moment, I think, being new, I think that's what I had to attract. You know, that's what I had to get. Mm-hmm. So I sold the kid from Rockland. Talented kid. Turned out to be a real glue guy, but strong, tough. Mm-hmm. I got a kid from Quincy High. You know, Quincy High, I'm usually good getting kids from Quincy High. North, I haven't had really.
Yeah, you had Reggie Caesar who graduated with me.
Yes.
Yeah. So was that who you're talking about? Yeah.
No. Okay. This kid, Hugo, was like 6'5".
Oh, really?
Talented. Okay. had some Division II interest, and he could have played Division II basketball, but again, things happen. But Reggie was, Reggie came off the bench, man.
Yeah,
Reggie
he's
was
such an athlete.
You know, he wasn't a basketball player.
Oh, no, yeah, but he's an athlete, yeah.
Reggie was tough, you know, like, and those are the type of kids that, you know, he probably has his degree now, you know what I mean? I think he went to a couple different schools.
Yeah, good morale for the locker room, though, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Reggie was tough, man. Reggie would come in.
Need a locker room guy.
Yeah.
I hope you recruit specific locker room guys.
Oh, yeah.
Got to get him in the system.
I've had plenty of them, but, you know, today they all think they can play. You know what I mean? You know, and they all want to play. That's why wouldn't you? You know,
recruit
but
me. Recruit me. I'll go back to school. I'll straight up not play. I'll just be the locker.
I'll lace you back up.
Yeah,
let's get this win today.
Need equipment manager here.
Yeah, I get that all the time. Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's no age limit. I had a kid that was older than me.
There's no age limit.
Yeah, no. I mean, if you're eligible,
I remember there was like a 63-year-old
kicker. You could be like 40 years old.
Okay, you could be whatever. As long
could
as
be 70.
I mean, you have guys that go in the army and they come back. I had a kid in the army. Pat played for me last year. You know, didn't play as much, but he was about my age. And I had a kid older than me, didn't play much. But, I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, if you're in school for classes, you know, you're eligible.
Yeah, you want to do it, come see what happens.
Yeah, but again, it's a commit. You know, it's a commitment. People think, yeah, I want to play.
Oh, I'm on the team. Yeah.
So, I mean, that first year, again, you know, I got lucky. And then, you know, I got a kid –
the kid who goes to NC Central now. He
yeah, Devin. So we found him at Store 24. Yeah, Store 24.
The recruiting part honestly sounds like wicked fun.
Yeah, oh, it's fun.
Like,
but
I could imagine you out there like recruiting these. Where do you go to AAU games?
AAU's not really big. I usually go to the high school games.
To some programs you know yet.
Yeah, I mean,
you ever
Devin,
pick anyone up at the YMCA or anything?
No, I mean, people always say, oh, hey, you know, this and that, and never really happens, but not the YMCA.
But you're saying Store 24 with Devin.
Devin, you know, again, it gives me chills just because, you know, do I say, like, I developed him to make, like, the kid, you know, he's 6'6", like, he could play. You know, again, he just had that rough you know, high school experience and probably didn't know his path. Mm-hmm. I think in high school, they won a state champion. He went to
the New Mission.
New Mission. And yeah, that program was tough. You know, that was like a top program in the state. And I think he graduated early. And again, he's sitting at home, you know, he's sitting at home for a year, you know, probably not doing the best things and you know, working again at Store 24, just doing that, just has no path in life.
Yep.
So I got introduced to Devin and he was with me for a year before we started, you know, the program. Yeah. Real NJCA the season. So I was with him, got to know him working out and things like that. So, you know, finding somebody like that, I mean, a lot, you know, some programs that, you know, no, you know, they had an image about him. And I said, you know what, you know, I'm gonna do what I can to make you the best player in the state or in New England. I'm gonna do whatever I can and help you with, you know, school, you know, just teach it. You know, some of these kids come in and they don't know how to study, you know, just things like that. It's just, you know, we at Quincy College, I really have to say we have like a good support that, you know, that's gonna help. You know, that's going to help you. We're here to help people and get them by and really teach them how to study. So I get Devin, yeah, just having no path and comes in and you know, led the country in scoring
30-something points a game. So let me ask this too. So you guys, I mean, I don't know how many games it was. It was like the winning streak. But at what point did you like look back during the season and all? You were like, wow, this is like working. This is actually happening.
Yeah. I mean, I had another kid that was a bona fide Division I. He probably was he's probably a mid-major. He's a point guard. Dejo Dunkley. I mean, he was, you know, people still talk like he was one of the Devin wasn't it, like he was all like in the country, you know, he should have been there too. Like he should have been the national player. Like both of them, like they that's how good they were. Mm-hmm. but it was probably at, you know, we go to CCRI. They were a Division II program. First game, you know, I think we lost by like 10 or 15 points like that. And, you know, again, we didn't get down or anything like that. And then we just rattled off 20 straight wins. But I think when we got nationally ranked, I remember that we're mid-half, you know, halftime, you know, you look at the rankings with number 10, you know, it's like, whoa. You know, that was a moment where.
And like the first year, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, just right out of the gate. That's crazy.
Yeah, and again, you know, like Reggie Caesar and guys like that, just clue guys, you know, that just play in the system that understand, you know, how to play and not necessarily think about scoring, but just how to win basketball games. Oh, yeah. And that's what, you know, basketball is about, is a team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, chemistry and you know, how do you get this group of guys to really work well together? And obviously having two stars, you know, you know, that helps.
Definitely helps.
Yeah. Obviously the stars and everything, but if I'm like the other coaches in your league and I see this team coming in for the first year and they're going, what, like 22-2, like what are they doing that we aren't doing?
Yeah, blindsided. Yeah, like, whoa.
Yeah. So back to like when we played Bristol, they were, I think when they came to us, they were number 8 in the country. And we ended up beating them by 20. You know, we just lost to them by 80 last year. Like, legit, we lost 80 by 80, you know. Yeah. And then we beat them by 20, and they're a nationally ranked team. You know, that was a good moment. And then we, you know, Bunker Hill was pretty good. They had Damone Carrigan, who plays a Division I team in Florida, but he was getting recruited by, like, Syracuse and stuff like that. He was big time. Mm-hmm. And we beat them by, like, 15, 20. So, I mean, we kind of had some key wins in the beginning that really were, like, people were like, whoa, you know. And we just got better through the season, you know. We lost the game late. We won the game, but they said we lost because, you know, one of the kids had like 3 technical fouls, and in our region, if you have 3 technical fouls, you're ineligible.
Oh yeah.
So like we won like the game, but they said we didn't win the game. So
probably on a loophole.
Yeah. But again, you know, then getting the news that you can't play in the playoffs was tough.
Oh, yeah, because it was the first year.
Yeah, it was tough. And we, you know, honestly, we didn't know that. You know what I mean? We thought, you know, we went through a grace period in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we didn't know we were ineligible until, you know, we were trying to fight and work around that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Obviously, but it's just what it is. It's a weird rule. Even like
That rule stinks.
What's the team? It was they were Division II. No, yeah, they were Division II. Then they went to Division I. They had an unbelievable season. Massachusetts school basketball program.
Not UMass Lowell.
No, not UMass Lowell.
Merrimack.
They just had an unbelievable season. Really? Won their league.
And they couldn't do it. Yeah.
And they couldn't go to the tournament.
Wow.
Even with COVID, I don't think they would, but they still weren't eligible.
Yeah, could have been there, yeah.
Yeah.
They still can't sneak out the NE10, huh?
It's tough. I mean, you know, back to that first year team, watching Devin plays on ESPN3 all the time. They play UNC. Just having a small, you know, like I said, I'm not here, you know, I don't do this for credit for myself or anything. It's just, you know, I really do this just to, you know, because I was one of those kids. I really was.
That's a fascinating thing I see about the whole story. It's unbelievable how it really turns like full circle.
Oh, yeah.
How you were in high school to, you know, you're helping these kids, you know, change their lives for the better. I think it's unbelievable.
It can help them a lot. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, and I think it kind of turned. At first, I went into it, I'm like, I just want to win games. We got to win games. We're here to win. This and that. And I think I started to, you know, really think, it's like, if you're playing basketball, like, it's a given. You're there to win. You know what I mean? Yeah. So really putting that in my mind, like, that's all I want to do. So, you know, the last 3 years is, you know, getting these kids, you know, academically eligible. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many things that play in part, to qualify for a Division I scholarship, to qualify for a Division II scholarship. And it's, you know, I take pride in really setting guys up to get that path. If it's realistic, you know what I mean? I'm very straightforward with these guys. It's like, you know, you can have dreams and dream all you want. If you're not putting the work in, then let's not talk, you know.
Yeah, not everyone goes to Duke.
No. It's like, and you don't have that work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your work ethic has to match your dream, you know, your dream. So, but like I said, I've been successful getting guys to the next level. And I think that's where, you know, right now, you know, why I have guys just wanting to come. They trust me. And you know, we have a kid that goes to Catawba. That's one of the best Division II conferences
in
the country.
Is that Peacock?
Peacock, yeah.
Yeah, I covered him when he was a senior at Braintree. He's a good player.
Yeah, Peacock was good. Mm-hmm. He went Division I JUCO out of high school. He should have came to me, but again, you know, you have a relationship with kids while you're recruiting them, and then they tell you no, you can't take it personal. Yeah, you know, it's nothing personal to it. I understand. You know, hey, if that's what you think is best for you, let's do it. You know, do whatever's best for you. So, and then they come, you know.
Yeah, and it seems, this is my last question, but like at the end of the day, it seems like you know what you want in coaching, and that's to help in, you know, these kids' lives getting better. But is there really something else that, like, in the future, I mean, you're still younger guy in the game. Like, is there something you want to further accomplish? Whether, I mean, obviously we won't even talk about like stepping to another program or anything like that, but is there something you haven't done yet that you're like, wow, I would like to accomplish that?
I think, you know, just learning more about the game and coaching, I think you always can get better, you know, and you can always get better helping people, you know, you know, coaching is great. But you know, I feel like I'm impacting a lot of kids' lives. Mm-hmm. And that's it, you know,
that's everything else. Cool.
That's all it's about for me, you know, and I enjoy doing it. You know, my wife and kids kind of, you know, right now, usually basketball season, it's kind of like, you know, I'm busy, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. So, it's tough. You know, people that want to be a basketball coach, you know, like, you know, right now we get kids, I get a 30 to 40 kids try out, and so, you know, some of them reach out like, hey, can I play? It's like, yeah, come on, try out, you know?
Yeah,
and then when a kid dunks on your head, it's like, all right, I'm good.
it's,
you know, you get kids that just have this, you know, thought process, like I'm a Division I star, but then you go to junior college and it's like, whoa, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, Division III, II, I, it's a blessing to play any college sport. You know what I mean? It really is. Not everybody gets to do it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And any level is it's a blessing. So, you know, people have this thing about junior college and it's like, whoa. But even if a kid can't play, I always try to find, hey, you want to pick up coaching? Do you want to be a part of the program? You know, I try to do whatever I can to just get people involved and, you know, whatever makes them happy or whatever they want to do, like, I want to help them. Mm-hmm. sometimes playing just isn't it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it just isn't it. So
sounds like you got a good program going over there. When you guys are playing again, we're gonna come and catch a game.
I want to see the squad. It's definitely entertaining. I'll tell you that we have some entertaining.
They
games.
Got popcorn there.
They better have concessions. Yeah, they'll throw some popcorn.
we'll have to teach Billy Hamlin halftime how to hit some free throws.
Yeah, I mean we I'll tell you, Easton has reading. They put on a good. They put a good host. They help us out big time.
Shout out to Coach Reed.
Shout out Coach Reed. They used to have a basketball like camp there as well. I used to attend it back in the day.
I love the gym. I mean, it's a nice little spot. But this year I was really, you know, I had my goal was to have 5 or 6 scholarship guys. That was like my goal this year is to send 5 guys on scholarship out the door. You know, they came to Quincy College and I got them, you know, free college. You know what I mean? So that was my
and
whole.
And think about it too. Like, I mean, you said when you initially came to Quincy College and you were like, oh, can we get a basketball team? And they're like, no. Even getting one kid the scholarship, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, just legit.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's hard work. Again, you know, a lot of guys coaching AAU, being a head college basketball coach is a lot of work. Yeah, you know, it's a lot of work. It's still, you know, like I said, I enjoy it, so I don't think it's work, but you know,
building
it's
a program.
Yeah.
It's cool that basketball still worked out for you like in that way, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I just
sounds like you got a passion maybe more for this than you did like the playing.
Oh, definitely. I think just, you know, life's crazy how it, you know, plays out and
comes full circle.
And I had a lot of ups and downs, you know, in life and prepared me for to help other people. So
I got a random question. What's your favorite outdoor court to play on?
Favorite outdoor
in Quincy.
Court.
do you still play outdoor basketball at pickup games?
I mean, like I live down the street, so
shout out QP.
Yeah, QP's. Yeah, have some respect for Quincy Point. This is my home. It's my home. Own some property around here. You know, I love it. I'm never gonna leave.
All right.
So used to be Pollard Park.
Okay.
Now it's Clifford Marshall.
Yep.
Terrible court, but that's the home court
for me. That's the home court.
That's it.
Haven't lost yet.
No. So. Exactly. King's still there, baby.
We'll have to get the kid from NC Central to come up and play you then, Jutta.
Yeah, he might get me. I can't really move anymore. I can shoot it, but.
Yeah, if any of your players want to come on and be on the podcast, too, we'd be more than, if any of them are into that kind
of
thing.
We'll get a season preview next time that comes around.
Yeah.
Well, Doug, really appreciate you coming on the show. This was awesome. Best of luck with everything going forward.
Appreciate it. Thank you. No thank you, guys. Yep.
So that was Doug Scott. You know, I'm always a fan of you know, Quincy Mass, but you know that's a real promising guy right there.
Hell of a story.
Yeah.
Hell of a story.
When Quincy College basketball comes back, you will see me in the stands. I think Magic might be painted blue.
Yeah, just get the color, man. Whatever it is.
I made sure to ask if there will be concessions there. That's a big
He's a big popcorn guy,
it's
right?
It's a big sell for me. I need hot dogs. The soda, Pepsi, little Pepsi, I don't fucking know. But I'll paint myself blue, whatever they need, whatever it takes. That's my
whatever
new favorite,
it takes.
That is my new favorite college basketball team.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like it. I like
What's their logo or mascot?
It's a granite. Quincy Granite.
So they're the Quincy College Granites?
Yeah.
I can find
I love it. I love it.
The Granites?
The Granite.
Wow.
Like the Granite City. It's kind of just like
the quarries. I get it.
Yeah, it's, a weird logo name.
Yeah, that's just an interesting sports name.
I know. Just
But we're there.
Yeah, very promising, fans. You know, very motivational stuff too. You know, you get a couple kids in there from Quincy College. You know, he kind of saw himself in them, and I think that was really, you know, passionate and, you know, one of the best interviews we've had.
Yeah.
If you're a younger kid listening to this, maybe definitely looking at Quincy College. Sounds like he does a good job recruiting. So
make Quincy College great again, right? I got to
keep
say
playing.
That.
Yeah, uh-huh. Keep playing in your heart out, and fucking, you never know what's gonna happen.
Yeah. We'll transition on now into NFL Week 15. The Patriots went up against the Miami Dolphins today, where, I mean, their percentage of playoff chance went from 2% to 0% now, with a 22-12 loss in Miami. What's our takes on this?
Just terrible.
Yeah.
That offense the entire year has been so abysmally bad. It's fine.
I'm glad I haven't wasted a lot of minutes watching them this year, but, I don't know. I'll shout him out. Zach Deegan texted me a couple days ago, and he gave me six names of QBs, and he asked me, like, rank who we should pick over value and how much they'll cost. And one of the names on that first one was Fitzmagic. I said,
ooh.
He's my number one. Him or Jameis.
Yeah, I felt bad seeing Fitzmagic on the bench today. I'm like, this guy.
He's good.
Be in
I
game.
Think he.
Well, both quarterbacks good, yeah. played horrible. Oh, Cam Newton again, time and time again, he shows everyone he can't throw the ball downfield. Obviously, both teams, you know, ran like a bat out of the hell. The guy I met ended up having over 100 yards, but you know, overall, like one of the most boring games I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was tough.
The four field goals from New England, they haven't scored a touchdown in, you know, the last eight quarters. The only little thing of it was Jacoby Myers, seven receptions, 111 yards. Like, I'm just seeing that number now, and I wouldn't have been able to say that.
Every single week, they, like, pull up Cam Newton's stats, and it's, like, five touchdowns to 11 picks, and it just, like, doesn't change.
Ugly.
And it just gets, it's like, dude, like, it's week, like, 15 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, how do you just have five passing touchdowns?
But if you're the Patriots, like, where do you go from here? Do you play Stidham, do you like tank?
I don't know why they're not. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you tank because obviously at this point they've realized that they've set up their offense to benefit Cam Newton and it's still not benefiting. So they're thinking if we put in the kid, it's going to, you know, you don't really have a lot of offensive weapons around you. You know, throwing in a tough offense like that leads to interceptions, which also leads to Stidham having low confidence coming in next year. I mean, so I understand that, but if you want to tank to get a top 10 draft pick, which I'm here for, you lose the next two games because the Jets just won today, so they're going to be hungry for a second win.
What idiots, by the way, the Jets are.
What clowns.
I don't know why they did that.
What fucking idiots. And they were doing so well, like that like Raiders game where they just blitzed everyone and like lost on purpose. Like they were doing so well.
Especially after the game Trevor Lawrence has had, like, yesterday.
Yeah, just
their eyes on the prize. They probably
massacring Notre Dame and then just, like...
Mm-hmm. They were like, we'll beat the Rams. Which makes us look even worse.
Yeah, we got pounded by the Rams.
Also, the Rams deserve slander as well. For like,
yeah,
like,
I can't stand
like,
them.
Like, you should, like, even if you don't try, you should beat that Jets team. Like if you are a good team, you know.
I didn't watch any of the game. And I don't understand it.
Obviously, I didn't either.
We usually do start with the promising. What's the best we saw from the week? So week 15, I'm going to go with the Buffalo Bills.
Oh yeah,
48-19, clinched the AFC East title. No one's taken the title from the New England Patriots since 2008. You know what? Bravo. Josh Allen is coming, and I
circle the wagons.
Start of the season, I was like, okay, Josh Allen, this guy's a pretender. But you know what? This guy's been throwing some bombs. This guy, you know, isn't afraid to run over people. I'm all in on the Bills, and you can be like, oh, they're our rivals. You shouldn't root for them. You know, the Jets are our rivals. Even the I don't even consider the Dolphins really our rivals because I like Flores, and it's mainly just Patriots South at this point.
We usually just beat the fuck out of every team. Usually.
Yeah. But
Miami sneaks wins out.
If you don't like actively like Bills Mafia, you're an asshole.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Like a piece of shit. Yeah.
Like they are the team. They are
a bad person.
They're our little brother that we hope one day does have their day. And this could be it. Yeah. This will probably be the year they get to have it when they don't get to watch the game.
They finally got some weapons. The guy Cole Beasley has been amazing. Stephon Diggs has been one of the best receivers in the league.
The past couple weeks, they finally have figured out that like you should just keep throwing it to Stephon Diggs. And, like, it's really
like things will work out.
Yeah, I think it's been going well.
And then also Tom Brady battling back from a 17-point deficit.
Let's go,
love
baby.
To see that.
Atlanta.
It's saying comeback part two, which is, I mean, kind of ridiculous. But down 17-0, comes back, battles all the way back. Now I get the whole, it was Atlanta. Like, they're not having a good season. But if you look at it, man, every week preparing for a team is tough to, you know, win in the NFL. So them coming back, you know, that's another bravo to them. I'm not going to keep clapping for every team I shout out today. But, you know, Tom Brady, you know, big
clap
game on the
Tom.
Line.
He's all we got left now.
Hey, yeah. Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown today. Big touchdown.
Got a bomb, yeah. That's what we expected when the Pats got Antonio Brown. But sadly, that did not work out as well.
Yeah, the Jets, obviously, are the bonehead of the week for winning. The Rams are obviously the bonehead of the week for losing. Who else is in here that I could really point out and be like, you know what? This team sucks. Shout out to the Packers for doing everything they're supposed to do. Chiefs keep rolling. Saints are lost without a healthy Drew Brees. We've got a Monday night game tomorrow. I'm sure you'll see this on Monday, but we have 12.5 Pittsburgh on the road against Joe Burrowless Cincinnati Bengals, and then the guy Ryan Finley, whatever's playing.
Yeah, I think it's Finley.
So 12.5, what do we like, boys?
It's got to be the Steelers. I would assume, even though what they've lost two in a row, right?
Yeah, I think they're going to come back with stuff, but I don't think they're going to cover 12.5. I don't think it's going to happen. Having a couple Steeler friends, they tend to play down to their opponents. So I think they're going to win this no problem, but I see some backdoor cover or something coming.
I think something like that, yeah, because I don't know. Like, I think like the Steelers easily going to win, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, even
I think they'll cover.
Even seeing back to last Monday night's game with Baltimore
and shit. I feel you.
Baltimore and who was it? Cleveland. That back safety in the end zone won me. Baltimore was -3.
Oh yeah, the back safety.
Yeah. That
what a beat.
Heard from around the world. So overall, I think the Bills are the team spiraling forward, and the Patriots are the team spiraling down. And
I'm all for Bills Chiefs. Bills, Chiefs,
AFC Championship game.
AFC Championship, NFC, give me the Bucks versus...
Anyone,
yeah.
Yeah, then Bucks, Bills, Super Bowl.
Bucks, Bills, Super Bowl would be fantastic.
And I got another like thing from this friend, too. He's just like, oh, now you're totally off the Patriots wagon. I'm like, no, they're out and the Bucks are in, so why not just hop on the bandwagon when you can't? Yeah. I'm obviously rooting for the Patriots, but so we got Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski... You know, fuck Bruce Arians, but, you know.
Yeah, that guy's a loser. Mm-hmm. Suck bag.
So, you know what?
I am sad to say I won't be in Tampa for the Super Bowl now because Ruff and Rowdy's actually not in Tampa, which is disgusting.
Would you like to announce anything, or is that not forward yet?
I put a fighter application in. I got to get a video, and we'll see. I don't know. I'm debating. Do I want to get back into it?
Yeah, is he wrapping up the gloves? Is he going to get them up?
Especially after hearing that the Billy football kid's probably going to be fighting Jose Canseco. I'd like to be on that goddamn card for sure.
Well, what is Lightsell Lang? Is Lightsell Lang going to take a back seat for the co-main event?
Fuck no! I think Lightsell Lang says I'll take Canseco.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Feed me that.
That'd be nuts.
I don't know. I got to make a video. I might make a video here tonight. We'll see. But so, it's not in Tampa.
Yeah. We'll transition on, and you know, we had a wild conference championship Saturday yesterday in NCAA football. You know, I don't follow it too much in the beginning of the season, but as it gets going forward, you know who you're going to get. You're going to get your Bamas. You're going to get your Clemsons. I'll just share the top four, which I shared in the intro of the show. So what the committee decided was Alabama 1, Clemson at 2, Ohio State at 3, and Notre Dame at 4. So we're going to get the Bama-Notre Dame matchup and the Clemson-Ohio State matchup. So do we like what they did there?
The one thing that's positive for me is Texas A&M was 5, and that means Jimbo Fisher got fucked, and that's awesome. Like, fuck
from a Florida State guy.
Yeah, that guy's an absolute loser.
I will say, I think they deserved it more than Notre Dame. Notre Dame had a great season, but you could tell, you know, you're going to get into these tough matchups in these playoffs, and they just weren't ready for it yesterday. They got smacked.
But they do have a win over Clemson.
But without the best quarterback in college football.
I get that, but that's, dude, like, if it's another 5-star recruit. Like, it's college football, dude.
The guy was a freshman, never played a game. My point being is the only loss for A&M was Alabama.
And they got smacked.
Yeah, but
I
would give them another chance. They got another chance.
Exactly.
Yeah,
the name's Notre Dame. It's cool.
The typical guys are in there. The typical names. Yeah.
I mean, Notre Dame's gonna get smacked.
Yeah,
I'm gonna root for Notre Dame.
Anyone could be that fourth team. It really doesn't matter.
So let me ask you this: since I won't get into the whole who's gonna win, how does this not end up being Alabama, Clemson,
Ohio State?
I don't agree with that. I think Justin Fields. I don't think he's the quarterback everyone thinks he is.
Oh, we're running.
We're running
it right down their throat.
They have the strongest defense in the country. I think Clemson does. You know, who are we talking about here? Ohio State. They look very suspect against Northwestern.
Northwestern is like the third best D in the country.
Yeah, and they still didn't look convincing to me. I don't know. I think it's going to be Clemson and Bama, and I don't know what other way to look at it.
No, sunshine goes down.
Sunshine goes down.
Sunshine does not get to the championship game.
And then, he hurts. He hurts himself. Comes back for.
Oh
a
no,
season.
Not get hurt. Like, I mean, like Clemson loses. But what if not that hot?
But
of a
what
take.
If he gets hurt? No, but what? Just think of it right now. If he gets hurt, tears an ACL or something. Oh, he's not going to the Jets. He's coming
Very
back for
possible.
Another season.
Very
he might
possible.
Not even play another season. He might not get drafted till what's it, 2021 draft, 2022 draft. And then who knows? Maybe the Patriots suck so bad next year we can get him.
Possible.
Yeah.
Possible.
Or maybe they just made the trade of the century, but who the hell knows?
Yeah, I don't even know if we got a trade of the century.
The Patriots will have Jameis Winston. We'll like it.
That would be terrible.
We will like it.
Not a chance. Yuck.
Keep bringing in big name bums. We brought Cam in. Let's give fucking Fitzmagic or Jameis a shot. Mitch Trubisky was another one of the names you sent me. Fucking throw Mitch in here. I don't give a fuck.
Stafford's
it doesn't matter.
Out there as well.
This season, we're screwed. We lost Tom Brady. We lost the greatest. We're always going to be. We're playing with bums now. Mm-hmm. Everyone's a bum
until they're not.
So give me all of them
until they're not.
I hope Jameis comes here. Because he'll be entertaining, and he'll get everyone. You guys
he'll
are going to hate
fans
him.
Fans in the stands. No, I love Jameis Winston. I'm a Florida State African.
You'll hate him though if he's losing games, doing the way he was losing for fucking.
But it's different picks. Now that the norm's starting to come down a little bit in New England. If like the 33-30 whatever was the most every time he played, it was electricity because you didn't know where the ball was going to.
Yeah,
and it was honestly something out of.
I'd like to see him eat some W's in Foxborough. I can get along.
Are you calling that right now, Jameis Winston of Foxborough? Call it.
Calling it.
He's calling.
I'm calling.
There it is. There it is.
Throw the house on that money. For the house on that wager if it is out there.
Love it.
A couple other topics for the night. So the Celtics, what's the date? December 20th. They start on Tuesday, right? First game?
Yes.
Against the Sixers? No, wrong.
First one's Bucks, I think.
Oh, Bucks. Okay. So that's going to be hectic. So they obviously haven't gotten off to a good start in preseason, but I mean like preseason's for losers.
Yes, 100%.
Just like game one's for losers, like preseason's for losers. But you know what? This team, you know, when they don't have Kemba Walker, if one of the two stars isn't working, like how is this team going to react? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's gonna have to fill out. I mean, like Brad's system is big on like chemistry and stuff, so that's why I'm not worried about like.
Yeah, we were talking before the show. What Doug was saying, he really relies on guys hitting shots, and guys aren't hitting shots, you're in trouble. Yeah. And I think too, to a point,
that new kid can shoot. Yeah, from what they say.
Well, you talk about the substitutes. So they substituted basically Anas Kanter for Tristan Thompson. I think that's definitely a win.
That's a win.
And what I've seen in preseason so far, Jeff Teague for Brad Wanamaker. I think that's going to be a slam dunk win, pun intended.
bang.
Yeah, I mean, he put up. I think he had 10 points the other night in the loss, and then they had 18 the first game.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you can get one of those guys come off the bench, I know he might be starting just because Kemba's out for a little bit, but. You know, that guy turns on.
Jeff Teague's a great basketball.
You get anything out of these rookies? I know we didn't really get anything out of the rookies last year, on the exception of Grant Williams. But, you know, this team, I don't think they're done yet. And a lot of people are already having hot takes about, like, oh, their year was last year to do it. Like, losing Gordon Hayward's going to be the worst. And not to mention that guy already, like, broke a finger. He's out for, like, a month. Like, that guy's a loser. I'm so glad he's out here. Yeah. Probably a great – like I said before in our last shows, like – probably a great guy, but, like, get on my face, dude.
Yeah, very minimal impact in his time here. Just pretty much hurt the entire time.
How'd they look against the Nets? I saw Kyrie doing that whole sage thing. That was
they got pumped.
They got pumped. I think the Nets...
Oh, the Nets.
I want to adjust to be... I'm going to bandwagon the Nets.
It disgusts
me. I love them because they're hated. I love, like, the hate of Kyrie. I know you fucking hate him, but, like, that sage move was fucking classy. That was a classy move.
With no one in the crowd.
That made it even funnier. Was Durant playing in this game?
Yeah, I do understand that.
How does he look?
Like Kevin Durant. If you didn't think Kevin Durant was going to come back and be amazing, you're dumb.
they're going to be a great team.
I think I'm hopping on that bandwagon.
No, I mean, I think they're the East favorites in my personal opinion. But at the end of the day, what Kyrie Irving did, yeah, there was some comedy value to it. But that guy's an absolute coward.
that guy's
a coward. Oh yeah!
I will be there when fans are back in that stadium to boo that man.
Like every second, like I want to get kicked out. I want to get him.
Naz, call him out and rough and rowdy.
Yeah, he don't talk to pawns, bro.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Journalists, whatever.
Yeah, he said like he wouldn't talk to journalists this year.
Yeah,
which I kind of loved because journalists.
If he called
them
pawns, I respect. I like that even more that he didn't.
Makes journalists all freak out. Those people are so high.
You're not a journalist. You're a pawn.
Moving on to Steel Salute this week. I actually made it, so Steel Salute.
Are you going to do that to him?
Because I'm not. I think I'm going to take it today.
Steel Salute.
Go for it, dude. What are you going to do?
Charlie Woods, the Tiger Woods' son, the Eagle on like hole two. Kid's 11 years old. The kid would smoke me in anything.
Yeah.
Quick question.
Woods' son. No
is an Eagle like you get it in and two?
So par 5 and 3.
Three. Okay, I was gonna say because that shot that they showed him, I was the like, shot that's they not showed his original
that was
shot.
That was the second shot. Shot. Yeah, and then he punted from there. That
I love.
That's
that
just
was
ridiculous.
Father son. That was cool.
That the funniest thing I heard. I was watching it with someone, and then he just goes, "Who do you think is the mother of this child?" I was like, "Whoa!"
I was wondering. I was like, to say anything. I looked. That it was up. Going through my
I
head.
Looked it up.
Literally,
it,
could
it
be
was,
anyone.
It was his former. Yeah. It could be anyone, but yeah, it was his former wife who was like a Swedish model or whatever.
Man. Sometimes I forget the Tiger went up the deep end like that for like
no, but yeah, like even when it resurfaces, like there was so much like publicity and stuff. You thought he would like kill the guy. You know what I mean, like obviously what he did was horrible. Not negating any effect there, but I'm just saying, like it sounded like he killed the guy.
In South Park, they're playing Tiger Woods like PGA Tour, the video game, and it's basically just like Mortal Kombat with his wife and like Tiger Woods. It was like really intense.
So what was that anyway that they were playing just like for fun?
Just like,
yeah, just
a,
like a course. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
How old's that kid? Do we know?
11.
Jesus.
Yeah.
He's gonna be a stud. I can't believe it. Well, I can.
Go to Quincy College. Get some fucking mentorship, yeah, from Dougie Scott.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Get some leadership.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
Do we start the golf program? Is that where we're at?
Oh man. I golfed you.
Fucking hell.
Mask has started. He's hit a hole in one before.
Yeah, I mean, no big deal. But
I do think we should at least talk about the fucking UFC fights last week with Slippery Pete. Give him a quick second.
Yeah, I'll give Slippery Pete.
Hey,
lead the way.
We were in an electric atmosphere. I officially am saying this. UFC fights are like 100% my favorite sport to watch at this point. Like,
they're incredible.
I have not had a bad night watching UFC fights.
This year.
It's been,
you know,
the best.
I mean? Yeah.
It's the only year I've done this since I used to watch like the big names, Frank Mir and Brock Lesnar, all those dudes.
Chuck Liddell and whatnot.
But yeah, Slippery Pete, great fight against that fucking skinny twig, Chase Hooper.
Yeah, it's that fucking close.
He had it, dude. I said it too on the way home watching my phone. I'm like, yo, if he gets taken on the ground again, if he lets him take him on the ground, dude.
That little roly poly shit that Chase Hooper was doing. Man. I just don't like him. Slippery, I hope you'll come back on this show, and also I'm excited to see you fight again because you put on a good fight,
a
lot of promise.
I mean,
it was
like,
a great first
going
fight
to win.
Evening.
Yeah,
done
yeah.
to beat. I mean, obviously you kick and scream at yourself for not winning the fight. If you were him, but I mean, you got a lot of good stuff to take out of that fight.
Absolutely.
Any other notable ones? That kid Holland. Holland is now my new favorite boxer.
Knocking a guy out from like your back is nuts.
Yeah.
And like a clear punch. That was crazy.
Speaking of nuts, Tony Ferguson's arm going that far back. And he's just like, we'll keep
yeah,
going.
That was insane. Yeah,
speaking of nuts, Anton put $500 on that fight. And also put $500 on the Panthers last night. So that just. Tail him cautiously.
Yeah, he's like, yeah. Ice cold.
But yeah. I think probably the next UFC fight, I would assume, is going to be the McGregor one.
Yeah, I think there's a couple fight nights thrown in.
Yeah, that I believe like January 16th, it's Max Holloway Cater. I think that's how the
year
begins.
That'll be a good one. The New England Cartel picked up another one last night.
Yeah,
Rob Font with a big knockout.
Yeah, that was
the guy who was fighting pure wrestler. I thought he had no chance. Comes in, doesn't let him get into the ground, and then just KOs him. It was beautiful. Great stuff
Love
to see.
It.
Greg Hardy got fucking tuned up yesterday.
Oh, that
was
awesome.
That was sick.
He was just like, yeah, I lost, so what? It's like, yeah, get out of my face.
Yeah, no, they were saying that guy, like, I don't even remember his name, but the guy who beat Greg Hardy, that was his fourth win of the year, which is like, that's a hell of a year for a UFC fighter. You know what I mean?
Hardy's got four wins, dude. The guy fights every day.
Yeah.
Jake Paul, any you got anything to say about him calling the people out?
I want to see Jose.
Calling Dana out, calling him a bitch, calling...
Now,
Connor's wife.
He wants Amanda Nunes to knock that kid the fuck out, and I would support that every second.
I think
that
would be awesome.
Would be sick. Other than that, like I will probably not watch Logan Paul fight Floyd Mayweather. That has no, like, I hate both of those guys, and we'll probably
yeah.
Not
that
watch
sounds
it.
Terrible. That sounds Fair like that sounds like Jake Paul just. It's Jake Paul, Logan.
It's
both
Logan
of them.
For
they're
that
they're
one.
Both just fighting the best fighters
like
in the
Logan
world for shits and gigs.
Just trying to take like absolute bombs on him, and then Mayweather doing his like typical like not fun, but I'm gonna win like route of just like playing ultimate. I mean, probably the best defended boxer of all time.
Here's how this story
both those
ends.
Guys are insufferable, and I hate them.
They both get their asses kicked by dudes that are like Floyd should just knock this guy Logan out so he stops talking, and someone should whoever Jake ends up fighting, whether it's the Danis guy or fucking Connor, knock him out, shut him up. They'll never come back. That's how it's to end.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
What does everyone want for Christmas this year?
PS5. If Best Buy would ever restock.
Rumor around town is people want a Magic. Here Comes Magic Mike remix, so I'll give that to the people.
That's actually what I want much more. Never mind.
For me, I got to go pick out a driver yesterday at PGA Superstore. Hey, great place. You're looking for someplace, you know, quick.
A ad. Driver?
What kind? Golf driver.
What'd you get?
It was like a Callaway type, but the cool thing, they got the simulators and stuff, so I got to hit like 50 balls. I'm like, do you want this? I'm like, I hope so. Otherwise, I suck, you know?
That's a good little prank to go in there and just shoot a quick 50 and get the hell. Oh, yeah. No, I don't want it. You know, I wasn't hitting too good on this.
Yeah.
No, but they have
this
like,
thing sucks.
I know golf's an expensive sport, but they had like new drivers for like $800. They had a putter for $450. It's like, who's going to buy
BJ's?
That? What?
Did you say at BJ's? Not no. BJ's.
PGA Superstore. A putter for $450.
He said BJ's Superstore. No. I was like, BJ's?
It's not is that doing like goddamn that simulators. Like, I don't know golf for shit.
Like, putter like, should be like anywhere between 200 and whatever, but I'm just going
to. If you want to be the best, you got to have pay the best.
Yeah, go get a hockey stick, grow up.
If I had to do that, I'd just snag one from the Nantasket one, like, go on with my day.
You think Charlie Woods is using a $200 putter? Forget about it.
He's going to be in the 700s. Oh, my God.
Well, like two
his
grand.
Little 5-wood that he used to stroke that shot. He's probably that's the most expensive 5-wood out there.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Folks, want to thank you for tuning in. You know, Doug Scott coming on the pod. That was a great time. Not new, but Steel and Nez t-shirts are always here. By the time you hear this, maybe you'll have a couple days to get your last second. Stocking stuffers with the Steel and Nez t-shirts are. Also-
I will officially. I will buy and drink a beer or FaceTime any potential customers. I don't know if they want that, but you'll get that if you buy a shirt.
Also, our guy Shlomo with the Mass Music Radio has a bunch of nice sweatshirts over here and, you know, some nice merch. So get on that. That's all from Steel and Nez, Mass Music Radio's Pioneer Podcast. Be safe out there, guys, and, Merry Christmas, and I don't think we're going to see you until after New Year, so have a Happy New Year, too. Let it rip, but not too much. You know, have a good one, all right?
No, let it rip hard. Let it rip. Fucking rip. You'll get back to neutral January 1st, 2021.
We'll all get back to 2021, boys. Let's go.
Let's fucking go. Merry Christmas.
One love.